Thank you, Dr. McKnight. I've been looking forward to our time here this evening. I wish I could have my granddaughter with me here, but that was not able to be. Thank you, graduates, for your work and your labors, and thank you for letting me, not that you had a choice, of having a part in your graduation ceremony here this evening. Thank you, parents, for your hard work. Thank you, grandparents, for your prayers, your sacrifice, your giving. Thank you, family, for your support that you give to these young people and the investment that you put into their lives. Thank you, Harford Christian School, both administration and teachers, for the unceasing sacrificial labors that you have given for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've considered tonight and speaking to you this evening, I've thought of it along the lines of a wedding. Not that anybody's getting married here tonight, but in the weddings that I've done, frankly, few are paying attention to the things that I have to say. They're more interested in the wedding and when will I be finished. I hope that's not the case here tonight as well. And so rather than preaching from a long passage, I'm going to draw your attention to a single verse in a little bit that's familiar to all of us. Graduates, you have put a lot of work into this these past 13 or so years. And as I thought about graduation, and my four older kids have graduated now, a thought came to my mind. One of my older kids said to someone else that they knew was graduating from high school, they said this, and I'm not going to say which one of my kids said this, but they said this: "Congratulations, you just finished the easiest thing you'll ever do in life." Now that's a pretty depressing way to start a commencement address, isn't it? I wholeheartedly disagree with that statement. This has been a hard work that you young people have invested in. It is 13 years of effort, 13 years on the average. Much effort, much sacrifice you put into it. Parents, you put into it. Family, teachers, and administration. The education that you have received here these past years will serve as the basis and the foundation for the rest of your life. It was not easy. You have learned a lot. Your teachers and parents have taught you a lot of content, a lot of facts, a lot of things that you need to know. They have tried to instill in you good habits and discipline and work ethic. The question is now, June 1st, 2018, tonight when you receive your diplomas and you go on to the next phase of your life, you've received all these things. Now the question is, what will you do with it? The education that you have received from Harford Christian School comes from a definite perspective. It doesn't come from a smorgasbord where you can take and pick what you want. But it comes from a definite perspective, a definite conviction, the foundational belief that there is only one true and living God, the God of the Christian Scriptures. Everything that you've been taught has been within that sphere. And from that perspective, and toward that end, it is entirely possible that you could leave here, you could take all the content, the training, the discipline that you've received, and you could go on and achieve great things in this life. Great things in this world. Like what? Some of you might have a bent toward English. Who knows? 10, 20 years from now, you might become a world-famous author, a novelist, or an editor of some prestigious periodical. If you have business or financial gifts and ability, maybe we have the next Mark Cuban sitting among us, hopefully a Christian, so that you can really help that endowment fund for Harford Christian School. Maybe math and sciences are your strengths. And that through your gifts and abilities in that, you might come across some amazing discoveries and applications. Perhaps it's music. And that through your musical abilities, you will have acclaimed works and the prestige that goes along with it. Is there anything necessarily wrong with these things, graduates? No. But what could be wrong is your orientation in life, the direction that you set and that you're going, the end and the purpose that you are striving for in these pursuits and in these objectives and with the use of these things that the Lord has given you. And if they are all self-centered, you willingly, consciously forget this is God's world. This is God's world. And when you view life from yourself in English, in math, in business, in music, or whatever it is, and you try to separate it from God, that is idolatrous. That is foolish, the Bible says. What could happen? Let's try to think ahead. Some of you might have 5, 10, 15, 20-year goals and plans. What could happen years from now, young people, amid your great pursuits and accomplishments? You're enjoying the fruits of your labors and the accolades and the acclaim and all the great things in this world that can come of it. What could happen? You know what could happen? A sudden, immediate, you know it's coming but not expected right now event. Death. And then, what will all those things do? What a tragedy. Such knowledge that you have now, at such cost, at such effort, wasted, when you're focusing it on yourself, on what passes away, completely ignoring the facts that the wages of sin is death, and that Christ is the creator of this world, the sustainer of this world, the savior of this world. A simple verse that you all know that applies, and I hope you'll remember. Remember what I said about weddings? I hope you remember from this day is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What you need, young people, what you need to correctly and properly use all these things that you have been given, that you have been entrusted with, that you have been blessed with, is the fear of the Lord. A holy reverence for Christ. You think anything, if you take anything, if you possibly remember anything from what I've said tonight, it is this, that you will have a holy reverence for Christ. That is what the fear of the Lord is. A holy reverence for Christ. Reverence alone is not enough. It must be a holy reverence. Why is that? Many of you will probably know James 2:19. The demons believe there's a God. They shudder. They tremble. They fear. They have, if you will, a reverence for God, but it is not a holy reverence. Revelation tells us of the judgment of God that will fall upon depraved, unsaved man, and they will call upon the hills to fall upon them, but they will not repent. They have a fear of God, a reverence, if you will, for God, but it is not a holy one. They hate God. They disdain God. All these gifts, the ability to breathe, the ability to think, the ability to act, they reject it. The fear of the Lord, young adults, a reverence for Christ, is characterized as such that looks to Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Look to Christ alone. A holy reverence for Christ is characterized by leaning on Christ alone. A wholehearted, whole-souled reliance on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A holy reverence for Christ is seen in living for Christ. We no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. Graduate, what are you going to do with these things that the Lord has given you through your parents, your teachers, your pastor? Are you going to lean on Christ alone, look to Him alone? Are you going to live for Him alone? You have been given some amazing tools to serve the Lord. And this brief span of time that the Lord entrusts to you, will you have a holy reverence for Him? I want you to think back, graduates, a few years. Can you remember back to kindergarten? Can you think back to kindergarten? Maybe your memories of kindergarten are not all that positive. But when you're in kindergarten, you learn some basic things, or hopefully they were reinforced. You learned your ABCs. Like I said, hopefully by kindergarten you knew those. You learned your 1-2-3s. Let me ask you, have you gone past those? Have you stopped using your ABCs and your 1-2-3s? No. Tell that to your geometry teacher who uses both of them, or algebra, or English. They'll be using finance. All through life, those basic building blocks are there, those foundational things, and they continue throughout your life. That is what a holy reverence for Christ, the fear of the Lord, is. It is the beginning, the commencement, the foundation, the fountain out of which true knowledge comes. All the math, the science, the discipline that you have can only rightly be understood, only rightly used. From the starting point, the sphere, the viewpoint of a holy reverence for Christ. It is the beginning of knowledge. This isn't just a head knowledge. It is a heart knowledge. It is a relational knowledge. Jeremiah tells us that. The wise man should not boast of his wisdom. But he boasts in this, that he knows me, the kind of God that God is. Graduate, fear the Lord. Have a reverence, a holy reverence for Christ. Don't be a fool. A fool, it says, despises wisdom and instruction. Now, a fool is not somebody who is without knowledge or who's mentally challenged, but it is somebody who is morally and spiritually twisted, perverted. It's upside down, inside out, blurred completely. Think of a rich man in Luke chapter 12. That man was intelligent. He had business smarts. He knew how to make money. And so he said, I am going to take my ease. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And what did the Lord Jesus say to that extremely intelligent, business-wise and savvy man? Thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. He wasn't planning on that event. It was something in the future, but not right now. He did not have a fear, a holy reverence for Christ. Graduate, what is your feeling about the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? What is your feeling about the truths of the Scriptures? Do you have an attitude when somebody brings up the Bible to your life of, I don't want to hear that right now, or that doesn't apply to this particular situation? That is a contempt. That is a scorn for the precious Word of God. Do you view it as not applicable, as out of date, or without value? Proverbs says, the fool is one who hates the things of Christ, who doesn't care for truth, who is right in his own eyes, who values only the things of this world, who thinks evil is the right thing to do. The fool is one who's controlled by his desires. Do you see, graduates, that a fool is not somebody who hasn't graduated from high school. Being a fool in the biblical sense is not an academic issue. It is a heart and soul and spirit issue. The academics built on the heart of a fool and that are developed from that will yield a life of foolishness. Oh, graduates. Do you know what it feels like to be called a grandpa? You feel old, frankly. No offense to you grandparents out there. I love being a grandparent. And I enjoy being a 21st century grandparent where I don't whip out my pictures in my wallet. I show them on my cell phone. I love being a grandparent, but I feel old. 30 years ago, I graduated from high school. Now I feel old. Graduate, 30 years from now, what will your life look like? It depends on what you do and your response to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Not tomorrow, not this coming Sunday, tonight. And that applies for everyone else here tonight. Do you have a holy reverence for our precious Lord and Savior? Graduate, fear the Lord. Look to the Lord alone. Lean on Him alone. Live for Him alone. When you do everything from this past 13 years, you'll be able to use that for Christ's glory. I don't care, young person, if you're going to take the things the Lord's given you these past few years and use them to be a farmer. I love farmers. I serve farmers. I come from a farming family. If you're going to be in construction or a chemist, a teacher, if you're going to be in business, a pastor, a missionary, an author, a musician, doesn't matter. Have a holy reverence for Christ. Fear the Lord. Let's ask God's blessing on His Word. Oh God in heaven, You are the one who gives life, who sustains life. You number our days. Lord, as I have watched these young people just this past hour, the first time I've seen probably most of them, what joy is, Lord, in my heart for them right now. As these young people get ready to leave and graduate this place and to go on to the next phase, Lord willing. Lord, I pray that they will devote every fiber of their being, every minute of their existence, every strength, every piece of knowledge that they have, Lord, that they'll lay it before You. That they will say, Lord, I want to live for You and serve You and exalt Christ with my life. Lord, help us all here tonight to have a holy, pure, loving, devout, pious, and devoted reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Him that we're here. It is through Him that we address You. It is through Him that we have life. So may, Lord, our night tonight and our lives from here on be lived for Jesus, for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.